So I think we just heard our learned speakers talking and trying to justify the effectivity of hypothermia. And I believe that one of the reasons that we are meeting here is to perhaps explore that whether hypothermia could be considered as the fourth pillar in the management of cancer, that is, along with surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, and whether hypothermia could be the fourth pillar there. So I think there is a saying that, you know, seeing is believing. So I thought I won't say anything, but I would just try to show some cases where we can just try to see what actually hypothermia is doing or hypothermia has done to these patients. And especially when all the remaining treatments have failed. So if I have patients where you have tried surgery, you have tried radiotherapy, you have tried chemotherapy, the standard form of treatment, and if hypothermia adds something to it, I think that then it certainly merits consideration. So that's how I would like to just briefly show some of the cases, share with you some of them. Just to state that I want to declare that there's no conflict of interest as far as this presentation is being made. So the first is the recurrent breast cancer, the topic which I dealt yesterday, and I think there is a press briefing, so I'm not going to speak too much on that, except that this is a problem which is seen commonly in patients of breast cancer, and as we all know, it's one of the commonest diseases in women in Europe. And most of these patients, after being treated by surgery, radiotherapy, chemotherapy, around 10% of them do land up with recurrence. And that's where the problem is, that how do we really manage this? And here is like this particular patient who have been treated, and then she comes up with crops of recurrences, and it's indeed a challenge to treat this patient. So using hypothermia along with the small doses of radiotherapy, in fact, leads to almost near total complete remission. And this is just one of the examples which is highlighted here. This is another one here for you. And as you can see, that this is a complete response which is stable, and the patient continues to be maintained in the stable response till the end of the follow-up period. And I think that's the biggest thing that you can achieve, at least give the patients a better quality of life. And so I think hypothermia certainly adds to it. And we recently looked at the entire data which has been published in the literature on using hypothermia and radiotherapy. This is a publication which also I believe is in the folder with you. And what it summarizes that probability of achieving complete response with hypothermia and radiotherapy actually increases by 22% over radiotherapy alone. And these are all the patients who have been treated previously and failed. So certainly hypothermia plays a role. Let's move on to another site, which is a head and neck cancer. And as you can see here, this particular patient who has been treated previously comes up with a recurrence, and along with hypothermia, just twice a week, along with some lower dose of radiation, the patient is stable. There is no disease whatsoever, even at about 2 years. And a similar analysis has been done, a systematic review and the meta-analysis of all the head and neck cancers which have been treated till date by hypothermia and radiotherapy. And what we see is that the probability of achieving complete response with combination increases by about 25% over radiotherapy alone. So this again shows that yes, hypothermia does play a role. Now let's talk about something else. Okay, these two patients I have shown where the patients have perhaps been previously treated and failed. Why not use hypothermia per se in a patient? And this is a case which is a patient of soft tissue sarcoma, which is a tumor which is not sensitive to radiation, a tumor which is not so sensitive to chemotherapy, but surgery is a treatment of choice. But the problem is that if the tumor is too big, the surgeons would find it difficult even to operate. So they would ask us to, you know, shrink the tumor by help of chemotherapy or by radiation so that the tumor can be taken out. Now, this particular patient had, this was about a 60-year-old man with about 20-centimeter huge tumor here, which was surgically inoperable. So the surgeon wanted us to treat the patient with preoperative radiation or hypothermia. And so that was the radiation that you can see here, is the entire tumor being covered by radiation. And we wanted to treat by hypothermia, but the tumor was about 20 centimeter, and the hypothermia applicator that we had can only treat about 10 centimeter length. So we were forced to, you know, take a decision, okay, let's try it and see that what happens if we treat half of the tumor by radiation and hypothermia, and the rest of the tumor by radiation alone, so what happens? It's the same patient, same tumor, but treated one part in which I added hypothermia along with radiation, and the other part where it was only radiotherapy, which is the standard treatment. So we started those, and that you can see is the applicator. You can see the half of the tumor is being covered because the applicator size is just 10 centimeters, so the rest of the tumor is not covered. And what we see here is that this is the pre-treatment size, a huge one, and that is the post-treatment. And what you see that the part which was treated by only radiotherapy has a 60% regression, whereas the part which was treated by radiotherapy and hypothermia, the regression is 85%. Nothing else, no chemotherapy. So same patient, same tumor. I don't think there has been any such case reported in the world literature, or whether it is ethical even to do it, but that's what we saw it. And I think this was something which was quite amazing and certainly puts that hypothermia certainly doing something. This patient was finally operated, and this is a resected specimen. The entire resected specimen shows no presence of no tumor cells. And what you can see perhaps here is the picture, the section from the part which was treated by radiation and hypothermia, and this is the part which was treated by radiation therapy and hypothermia. So this with radiotherapy, this with radiotherapy and hypothermia. And what is seen, I think quite visible, that there are a lot of cells here compared to what you see here, which is a classical observation after radiation. And this presence of this cell, we did further immunohistochemistry. And what shows here is that there are a lot of immune responsive cells which are there here, which Professor Isis was just mentioning, that hypothermia in fact stimulates the immune modulation of this tumor. And in fact, what we shows that hypothermia in fact accelerates the process of this immune stimulation and acts as a in situ tumor vaccination. I think that's what hypothermia is doing, as has been seen in this patient. Now coming to another case, so this was operable. What happens if the tumor is too big or it involves some blood vessels or nerves and the tumor can't be really operated? The patient has no other choice but to get amputated. So can hypothermia add something to it? So this is a patient, a 39-year-old lady with three children. She had a big tumor about 7 by 6 centimeters, and as you can see here, this tumor is actually trapping and involving the vessels, the nerves, and there is no way that the tumor can be resected without damaging the vessels or the nerves. So the patient was offered that the only way that what could be done is to have an above knee amputation. Now since the patient had three children, she certainly didn't want to get the limb amputated because she had to take care of the family. So there was a problem, and therefore we said, okay, let's try to treat this patient. And this was treated by radiation, and here radiation we used protons, not the conventional photons, but protons along with hypothermia. So this is what the patient came on the day, the first day, and as you can see that she can barely walk, she needs a crutch, and it was extremely painful. Perhaps you can sense or you can feel the pain as she tries to walk a few steps. That was the day one, the first day consultation. So after we had the first consultation, that is how she left our room, walking on the crutches. By the time we finished the treatment, this is how the patient went back, walking comfortably, no pain, and patient is still having the full function of the limb. So it's not only getting rid of the amputation, but giving the patient a quality of life which she would enjoy. Her family would enjoy to see her walking, not with an amputated part.
And that's Thank you, Professor Datta. I think this is a very good point to cut down scientific input now, and this was very impressive. What's it all about?